Please join me in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. As I mentioned last Sunday, and then again just at the previous or at the beginning of service, today is Commitment Sunday, and where we pledge our support of the financial needs of the church for 2018. Last week, I asked the question, how do we respond to God's grace? Today we move into that very familiar section of chapter 9, verse 6 and following, speaking of givers of grace and the cheerful giver. So please give attention to the inspired and errant word of the living God. The point is this: whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way to be generous in every way, which through us will produce thanksgiving to God. For the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but also overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. By their approval of this service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. While they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God upon you. Thanks be to God for this inexpressible gift. Now, if you would please join me in Hebrews chapter 12. Just two verses there. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. And I do pray the blessing of the reading of God's holy word. God loves a cheerful giver. And we need look no further than our own Lord Jesus Christ for the example of a cheerful giver of grace. As we read in Hebrews just now, Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. He looked at the cross as a place of joy. Our Lord Jesus Christ joyfully and cheerfully gave himself sacrificially to that cross so that you and I could receive the incredible gift of grace in our salvation. Now, it might seem challenging for us to look at that cross and to use the words joyfully and cheerfully took that cross, because it was a place of humiliation. It was a place of agony. It was a place of torture. But it was not the cross that brought the joy to Jesus Christ, but it was the outcome of what that cross purchased that brought him the joy and brought you the grace. Leaving behind the riches and glory of his heavenly kingdom, Jesus laid his wealth aside, willingly and generously gave his life so that we could keep ours. And as God has predestined us to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, there can be no better way to emulate and honor Jesus Christ and to become more like him than to selflessly and generously give, just as he did. Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And so see, in that, this should be our greatest motivation for cheerful and generous giving. That, first of all, it pleases the Lord, but then as we are doing that, it reflects His gift of grace to the world. And in our selfless giving, we become more and more and more like Christ. Just as He was a giver of grace, we are as well. So when Paul urges the churches in Corinth, he turns and uses Jesus as the example. And we said this last week. Paul writes in chapter 8, we covered last week, he said, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though that He was rich, yet for your sake He became poor, that through your poverty, through His poverty, we might become rich." And so through His sacrifice and through His selfless giving, His generous giving, we receive the grace and become rich in the blessings and the grace of our Lord Jesus. God loves a cheerful giver, because those who cheerfully give, sacrificially give, display the grace of His Son. And so it pleases the Father. And again, in the act of giving, we become just like the Lord Jesus Christ, which is really sanctification. Is that not what we are to be about in our Christian lives, is to grow to be more and more like Christ? We are to grow to be more and more Christ-like. Well, then here is an act we can emulate and portray that likeness just like He did. Now, we're speaking financially here, but that giving of grace can come in so many different forms and fashions. Just as Jesus Christ was fulfilled in His giving and received the pleasure of His Father. Remember what the Father said of the Son? He said, "This is My Son. In Him I am well pleased." Would He not have the same comment about you as you follow the pattern of Jesus Christ and generously and selflessly give as you've been given? Now, let's dig a little deeper into the text specifically. There are four guiding principles, logical principles, that Paul gives us here that I would like to use to sort of be the framework that we hang all of this on. The first is the truth, the logical truth of sowing and reaping. Now, most everybody in this room has either been in a garden or walked by a garden or stuck a seed in the ground somewhere. And so this is, again, logical truth. Paul writes, "Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." Okay, true. And Paul here is using that agricultural term. Again, the Corinthians would have known it. Everyone in this room understands it clearly. The quantity of the harvest is in proportion to the quantity of the seed. And Paul here encourages bountiful seed planting. And so he's giving the illusion, as we give, do we give grudgingly, sparingly, or are our arms wide open, giving at every turn? Solomon, the great wise Solomon, spoke the same truth in a different fashion. He said, "Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing." And Jesus Himself said, "Give, give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured out into your lap." And the psalmist writes, "Good will come to him who is generous." Generosity. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. The second truth is a truth we've already mentioned, the cheerful giving. This has been said, but let me add one point to it. If you would join me at verse 7 of chapter 9. Verse 7 of chapter 9, here in this idea of giving generously, Paul writes, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion." You see, that's the challenge with stewardship types of sermons. Because many, some, a few, whatever number, might see this as a sermon compelling you to do something. I pray you see it more as an encouragement. Because here Paul teaches us, do not be a reluctant giver. But also do not be a giver that's under compulsion or you're feeling compelled to give because Pastor Tim said, we must give, so I better give. Okay, see, no, he says, give as your heart determines. And see, this goes back to the sermon last week. What has God done for you in the grace he has bestowed upon you? What has God done for you? How can we measure it? We can't, but we respond to it. Our hearts should be enlivened by recognizing the grace in our lives. And so our hearts should be ready and willing and quick to support the needs of others, to give when we are drawn in that way. But it is not to be under compulsion, and it is not to be done grudgingly, but it is simply a matter of the heart. And we know what the heart portrays. The heart reflects the true nature of the person. So logic dictates maybe our giving does as well. Third truth. The truth of sufficiency. To have or to be given, to be provided with those things we need. Notice the word need, not want. Need. Verse 8, please. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things and at all times, you may abound in every good work. Sometimes we might sow sparingly because we're afraid our finances will run short. However, when we show grace to others through our giving, God has promised us here that when we show the grace to the others, we will have the adequacy of things needed in our lives. We are promised God's grace to enjoy all of the blessings that he has for us. And those blessings are vast, and the adequacy of those blessings is always there. And remember, please, it is sufficiency, adequacy of which is needed. And what is it we need most? And that is the grace of God in our lives. The giver of all grace will supply the need we have. He promises us his sufficiency. But then right behind this, the fourth truth is the truth of multiplication. Go with me to Psalm 112. I've already quoted one verse from Psalm 112, but let's read the entire psalm. Psalm 112, and we're talking of multiplication, we're talking of cheerful giving, we're talking of giving as God has given us. Psalm 112, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His offspring will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous. It is well with the man who deals generously and lends, who conducts his affairs with justice. For the righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. He is not afraid of bad news, for his heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph on his adversaries. He has distributed freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. The wicked man sees it and is angry. He gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. Here we see a man who deals generously with his neighbors. He gives to the poor, cares for the needy, and he is exalted, blessed, and remembered. notice, and I'll come back to this in just a bit, but notice the correlation between the giving, the generosity, and the idea of his righteousness. He portrayed a righteousness of character. He portrayed a righteousness of person as he lent freely, as he was generous in his affairs. He was just and he was fair, but he dealt with the people with open arms. And that's correlated with righteousness, as I will come back to in just a moment. Now back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9 and 10. Again, this idea of multiplication, multiplicity. Multiplication. Verse 9 of chapter 9, as it is written, he will distribute freely. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Now there's the term. He who gives generously will see multiplication and an increase in the harvest of righteousness. A very, very unique phrase. The increase of your harvest of righteousness. As I said, a very unique phrase. When we give generously, the opportunities for righteous, just, God-honoring deeds will increase. Just like the gentleman mentioned in Psalm 112, as he gave that correlated to righteousness, he had other opportunities to care and to give. He would give and he would have other opportunities to give. Righteous opportunities such as feeding and clothing the poor, showing kindness and mercy, defending and upholding the disadvantaged. These will increase, bringing further glory to God. And when God is glorified, further blessings come to those who give. Multiplication. It's almost like this cyclic event that occurs. We give and we have more to give. We tend to those in need and we have others who have opportunity where we can give and take care. The harvest of righteousness, these acts correlated with giving and caring are acts of righteousness which bring glory to the Father. And again, we reflect the image of Christ in our giving. Four truths of giving from grace, sowing and reaping, cheerful giving, sufficiency, and that of multiplication. You have no doubt heard the saying, you can't outgive God. This is what Paul is teaching in very simple terms. You cannot outgive God. You cannot. As we read in Malachi last week, God actually calls on us to challenge him in our giving. And see that he will not open the storehouses of heaven for us. Four guiding truths that Paul here is giving to the Corinthians. Very logical ideas. But now what are the results that Paul tags onto these truths for the Corinthian church, also for you? He says in verse 11 that giving enriches the giver. You will be enriched in every way, to be generous in every way, which through us produces thanksgiving to God. Again, this cyclic action that you will be enriched as you give, and as you give, you will be further enriched, and you have more to give. And God gets all the glory for it. In our giving, we are thanking God for his grace toward us. We then extend that grace to others, and we are fulfilled and enriched deeply within our souls. The giver becomes an instrument of the grace of God toward others. And that's the second result, is we are able to care for the needs of others. A very physical and tangible thing, meeting the needs of others. And we do that by our offerings that we give within the church and that we also give outside the church. But also, by our giving, we meet the needs of others inside the church, as I've said. By our tithing within this church, our tithing funds the ministries of New Sterling. The kitchen, property maintenance, Christian Ed, Youth Council, Hope and Care, Women's Ministry. We all know the committees that are making up our ministries here. By our tithing, we fulfill and fund these ministries, which are used to meet the need of the people of this church. And that need is the teaching and preaching of God's holy word. Reaching out in the community and sharing the gospel. by your tithing, by my tithing, we are meeting the needs of the people through our ministries. And then thirdly, back to this idea of a cheerful giver, it expresses our gratitude. Again, this is a heart matter. It's a worship matter. Peripherally, it is about money. But initially, it is about the worship of God and showing our gratitude to what He has given us. Three times here in this short passage, Paul speaks of giving thanksgiving to God through our act of giving. When we use our financial resources as the Lord intends, giving generously through tithes and offering, and I hope you know the difference between tithes and offerings. Tithing is that repeated, constant, weekly, monthly giving. An offering is above that. Walking in and putting a 20 in the plate once a month or so, that's not tithing. That's an offering. The money we give to Samaritan's Purse, that's an offering. Tithing is that repeated conduct of giving of your financial resources. But it is through those tithing and offerings that we will feel pleasure, the God's pleasure, in doing what we are made to do. And see, this is where it's a little bit challenging to get our minds around, but I entitled the sermon, "The Givers of Grace." Because you see, when we give of our time, of our financial resources, of clothing, of going and sit, you know, however we give, we are giving that which we received. God is a giver of grace, that He has supplied us sufficiently with all of our needs, most especially salvation. And so when we tithe, when we give offerings, when we do the food poundings, when we give and give to others throughout, that is reflecting the grace we've received to others. And as I said before, we are instruments of that grace. So we, like God Himself, are givers of grace. When we give cheerfully, sharing this grace with others, we should feel the overflowing of God's pleasure in our hearts. Because we like to help others. But more than that, it's obedience. It's obedience. It's being obedient. And as I said from the very beginning, as we give, we are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ and His sacrificial and His generous giving. And isn't that what we desire? Isn't that what we are here for, is to mature and grow into a greater likeness of Christ? We can do that through giving. I pray that we have many, many, many opportunities to be givers of grace. Let us pray together. Father, You have blessed us richly by acknowledging that we have a Lord and Savior who sacrificially gave all that we might enjoy the grace of the Father. Let us be givers of grace as well. Let us, Father, move our hearts to do what would bring You glory and honor today. As we give through our tithes and offering, as we give into this church, we are giving to You. In Jesus Christ's holy name, amen and amen.